Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Now, today I have a guest. Ben Bobo is here with us today. We're going to have a really interesting conversation about medical devices and innovation. I'm going to introduce Ben in just a moment. But first, I always want to take time to thank you for being here, spending your valuable time to spend it here with me on the show. I am so honored that you do that. I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. And you won't be disappointed today. Now, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do. You come from that heart-centered place. You truly want to make a difference in the world. You love helping others live their dream, have a better life. Perhaps that's you. And that's why you've decided to join us here on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show with insights to help you on your entrepreneur journey. Now make sure that you take time to check out the show page before you leave. There's always a gift for you there. And there's links to connect with me as well as the guests that I have on today. So all of Ben's contact information will be on the show page as well. And remember, we can connect on Facebook or you can send me a message through my website at BonnieGressel.com. I would love to hear from you because maybe you have a message to share. I love learning about new people, having new guests on the show. So reach out to me if you would like to share your message with people all over the world. Now, allow me to introduce our guest for today. Ben Bobo is a trailblazer and has let startup medical device organizations bring disruptive technologies into the commercial reality that significantly address unmet clinical needs. He's a facilitator and a self-described evangelist for innovation. Bobo is known for turning nebulous ideas into market-ready technologies and set them out to revolutionize patient care and positively impact therapeutic outcomes. This is going to be a really interesting topic today. Join me now and welcome Ben Bobo to the show. Well, welcome, Ben. Thank you so much for taking your time to be with us here on The Holistic Entrepreneur. I am so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Bonnie. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously. But there's always more to the story, right? Would you share with us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today?
Absolutely. You know, we definitely all have a journey. It's very unique to all of us and probably a compilation of all the experiences in our life. But if I were to start sort of towards the professional end of things, my journey really started in Utah, where I went to school from a professional standpoint, and that vision about what I want to do in my life. And it started with flying planes in the Air Force. So I went to the school in Utah to join Air Force ROTC. And I went there for 4 years and graduated and was offered a pilot slot to a place called Euronato Joint Jet Pilot Training. And that was a pilot training that was based in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I was there in pilot training. We flew T-37s and T-38s. And it really was a part of my journey that was very enlightening because you're in a situation with tremendous stress, right? Flying jets that are very fast. You have to learn information very quickly. And the standards are about as high as you'll find anywhere in life. And this is all happening at, you know, sort of towards you at the tender age, in my case, of 22. So it was a fascinating sort of what's what I'm looking for? It's sort of like a place where you learn and grow. And it had all these elements and it was a fascinating part of my journey.
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine. And having to be, you know, quick. I mean, you're flying those planes at a pretty high speed, I would imagine. So it's like, oh my goodness, your reflexes and you just have to be there present, right?
No, that's a good point. You got to be present and you have to have ability to think ahead 5 to 10 steps because We always say the most important thing in flying is the next five most important things. And what's funny, when you hear those sort of analogies, and we look at our life, at our stage in life, and we say, you know what, that's applicable no matter what you're doing. If you can plan ahead, think ahead, it really behooves you, whether it be financially or in your career or your family. And so you're absolutely right. It required me to really think quick on my feet, be able to memorize and apply in very stressful situations. I have a funny story out of pilot training. When I was on my third flight in a T-37, and I'd learned to fly out of John Wayne Airport in Orange County, and I flew in 172 Cessna's 172s, which are prop planes, which are much slower and less powered. So I remember in a T-37, when they first put the power forward, it put you in the back of your seat like a dragster going down the strip. So on the third flight, I was with my Italian flight instructor, Major Sfara, and we went over to the practice area where we did aileron rolls, loops, split S's, different aerobatic maneuvers. We were at about 14,000 feet. And Major Sfara flew for the Italian Air Force, and he had 4,000 hours in an F-104 plane. So as we were coming back into the traffic pattern, and the visual is we're in Texas, it's cold, it's somewhat in the winter time, but as we're in the traffic pattern about 1,000 foot above, and remember, I'd never landed this plane in my life, my instructor started dry heaving, started going through the motions of throwing up. And I looked to my right, and in a T-37, we're probably 6 inches apart from arm to arm. And I see him convulsing, and he still has the joystick of the airplane, and the plane is porpoising up and down, 1,000 feet above the traffic pattern. And you can imagine what's going through my mind. And of course, he expels his contents, and it got all over me, all over the cockpit. And you're thinking, I've never landed this thing, my third flight, this is interesting. So I grabbed it, and I knew enough about flying where I kept it straight and level until he got himself gathered. And of course, he was flustered and upset and embarrassed, right? Because the student is the one that's supposed to go through that experience. I remember we eventually landed on the ground, and I'm thanking God, and I'm very grateful. And we're taxiing up, and you have flight crew that received the plane. And I remember the flight crew guy comes up to me, and as the cockpit's open, he looks at me, and he looks at the instructor, and I get out, and he didn't know what to say. And Major Sfara comes around, and he said, Lieutenant Bobo, I go home today, let Commander Schnau know. So, yes, sir, I saluted and went back to see Commander Schnau, and he just busted up in a guttural laugh. And he was a short German flight commander, and he got a kick out of it. But here's the deal. He got such a kick out of it, the next about 10 flights, I paid an epic price because as a student, you weren't supposed to show up your instructor pilot. So, again, more lessons about how to stay calm in a very stressful situation, and try to see it through to a hopefully a quality outcome.
Wow, that is a story. Oh my goodness! So, how did you get from flying really fast planes, T-37s and all that, to where you are today, Ben?
That's a great question. So, you get to a point in your journey where you say, "Here's my vision for my life. Here's what I want," and we'd all agree that the one constant in life is change. And so as we mature and we grow, part of what I thought was important in life was helping people and to get myself in a career ultimately. And I know flying's important, but to me, flying was dimensionally defined in that once you knew how to fly and you understand the rules in the skyway, there's not a lot of learning and growth beyond what you know. And for me, I really enjoyed the growth part of the process of learning new things. So part of what drove me to medical devices is the notion that you could really make an impact and a difference in people's lives. So when I first got into medical devices with Edwards Life Sciences, I had the opportunity to interact with people going into open heart procedures or heart procedure, heart catheterizations. And you could see, mom and pop middle America really benefit from technology. And that was just so exciting to be a part of, and the technology and breakthroughs in medical devices to do one thing, which was improve the quality of life. So that journey through a lot of experience, just like in your journey, you had to start small and really learn a lot on the job. I would say to everybody listening that you can have an undergraduate degree or a master's degree And that allows you to get into the door. But where you really learn the actuality of the job and how it functions is actually on the job and training with people that have done it for years. So I had the gift and the blessing to really work with some very solid professional business people, medical device executives. And it really just stoked the fire in me to really identify technologies that could really make a huge impact in the lives of people, especially as it pertains to quality of life.
Mm. And it's so, I mean, to make that difference in the world, you know, one person at a time is, I never looked at, you know, flying an aircraft, which a lot of people I would imagine want to be able to do, but how that doesn't necessarily always give you that ability to feel like you're making a difference unless you were at war or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, it's funny, you know, I think being a pilot is considered prestigious or an honorable profession. And I think it draws just solid people that are detail oriented and risk takers and brave people or whatever. But for me, it just didn't really hit the high notes of what I found or what I felt my purpose was, you know, on planet Earth. So for me, I had to continue to evolve and discover that. And I got to tell you, it was one of the best decisions I made because I can't imagine just staying stuck in a, you know, like a silo. Here's what you do. You're a pilot. Not to say pilots aren't dimensional and have a lot of interest, but in your professional sense, it's pretty defined by how you fly a plane, the specific plane that you're flying, and there's different, you know, ways you fly that plane or different procedures. And then, of course, the rules of the road that the FAA established on how you fly planes, at what altitudes, radio calls, those sorts of things. So I think you really bring up a great point. As I transitioned into medical devices and as I went into my career path, it gave me just tremendous you know, feedback and a feeling of really giving back to people and making a difference. And for me, that was important. And so that's kind of my journey. And maybe not everybody would hold that same perspective, but for me, that was something important to get me up out of bed in the morning and sort of with the spring in my step.
Mm, well, and it's wonderful how I'm sure that over the course of the years and all the devices that you've worked with, you've helped so many people. Now, the latest is Serenitex. Tell us about that and the technology that goes with that. And this is your most current endeavor, it sounds like.
Yes, Serenitex is my most current endeavor, and my history is I've been with six different startups. I've been a three-time CEO. This is my third stint as a CEO in Serenitex. And, you know, it's funny, it's progressional, right? So I started off and I was in the cardiac side, so we got to see a lot of open heart procedures. And then I ended up going into the neural side, and I co-founded a company with my dad where we developed a device that was implanted in the skull temporarily to manage pressure or intracranial pressure. And so in all those endeavors, it's sort of progressional. You start to build in your knowledge and understanding, and you also build in your knowledge and understanding of what the real problem is. And you know how you find out the real problem? Is really talking to people like you, nurse practitioners, nurses bedside, doctors bedside. They'll tell you what the unmet clinical needs are. So when I got to Serenitex, I got to be honest, I had no idea the impact of the pathology we are focused on, which is migraines. I was always focused on TBIs, strokes, tumors, hemorrhages. And while those are critically, vitally important in terms of trying to provide relief or improve the outcome of those issues, as I came upon Serenitex, I got to be honest, I had no idea the impact of migraines, not only domestically, but worldwide. In fact, if you look at the numbers of migraineurs, and there's varying reports and estimates, but roughly there's about 4 million chronic migraineurs in the U.S. that suffer chronic migraines as defined 15 days a month or every day of the month. And there's another 35 million in the U.S. that suffer migraines once or twice a month. And what's interesting about that is when you have one migraine, it's not just the migraine you have, it's the migraine abortive drugs, it's the pain management, it's all the sort of drug cocktail mixes that the person suffering from it has to employ to get to a better state. And that could take 2 to 3 days per episode. So we're in the middle of a study right now, and one of the participants came in, she goes, you know, Ben, My last migraine lasted 4 days. I just could not believe it. So migraines are highly impactful. It affects almost 10% of the population in the U.S. And by the way, it affects over 1 billion people worldwide. So with Serenitex, it allowed me the opportunity to gain exposure into a pathology that I think most people view as you take an over-the-counter medicine to correct or to manage. And in reality, that's the furthest thing from the truth. It's a very debilitating disease. It's a disease that really doesn't have good command and control for the patient experiencing it. And so that's kind of how Serenitex, came about, if you will.
Mm. You know, that is so, I mean, you're speaking my language, because as a migraine sufferer myself, I can say, oh yes, I mean, the headache, the migraine might last a few days, which is horrible, but then it's not over. You have the hangover headache then, where your synapses aren't working right, you're not really thinking well, you still feel sick. It's so much bigger than so many people realize, unless they're a sufferer themselves. So I'm so glad there's people like you, Ben, that are taking, you know, more technology, more other than just pain medication, to help people with this issue.
Yes. No, it's vital, because, you know, when you think about migraines and how debilitating, you nailed it. I was working with a financial expert. He goes, you know, Ben, I get a migraine and I have my whole day booked out, but I have to go home. Yeah. And he goes, it takes me several days just to get out of that fog and feel like I'm sharp enough to get back in the game and talk to these very high-end, you know, financial people that expect, you know, quick firing synapses and the ability to, you know, follow the conversation. So it's a big impactor in people's lives.
It is. So tell us a little bit more about the technology that you're working with Serenitex.
So what Serenitex has done is we are focused on a non-invasive technology using artificial intelligence that can non-invasively screen and diagnose migraineurs. And so just for the audience's sake, and most people may appreciate this or maybe not, is that today migraines that are screened or diagnosed, quote unquote, are done so subjectively. There is no objective quantifiable way to detect or screen for migraine. And this has unique implications. And think about it from an analogy standpoint. If I said to the audience, you need blood pressure medicine because your great grandfather had heart disease and you look hypertensive, most people would think I was crazy. Most people would expect that they would have a blood pressure cuff put on, the doctor would take several tests to confirm you have high blood pressure, and then diagnose or prescribe an appropriate drug to manage the blood pressure. Well, with migraineurs today, when they present to a neurologist or primary care physician, the only basis upon which a neurologist or primary care physician can determine if a patient is a migraineur is through a series of questions, family history. Maybe they'll send them in a CT scan or MRI to rule out a bleed or something more acute, but ultimately it comes down to a subjective diagnosis. And here's the kicker. They're prescribing drugs to manage these migraines. And if you're not a migraineur, it has very serious implication, because some of the migraine abortive drugs, if you're not a good candidate, can cause a stroke. So it's really important that the doctors get the drug combinations correct. And there's an interesting study done by Allergan this year in 2008 called the CAMEO study. And in it, it showed that less than 5% of the 40 million people that suffer from migraines in the U.S. are diagnosed and see a neurologist or healthcare professional related to a migraine, or giving appropriate prescriptions to manage and treat the migraines. 5%. That was astounding. What that tells me is a lot of these people with migraine-like symptoms are going to primary care physicians. Primary care physicians are not neurologists, so they're not familiar or comfortable just prescribing migraine abortive drugs. So what do? Is they'll do the pain management piece, opioids, and also antidepressants. Unfortunately, migraines are also associated with depression. So now you're giving patients, pharmacological approaches that really don't address the problem. And so when I started to realize this picture develop about how migraines are treated, it seemed to me that it was really important to see if we could find a technology at the outset that could diagnose and screen these patients to be able to give the practitioner very viable, important information on how to best treat these patients.
Oh, that is so needed, at least from what I see in my perspective, because, you know, it's not always easy to get into a neurologist. And first of all, you need a referral from your primary care doc. Well, then those are the people, a lot of times, you're right, Ben, who end up diagnosing and treating, and they don't really know what to do with people. So they give them something for the pain, which is only a piece of it. And I can tell you from personal experience, like when I had my car accident, they gave me pain medications because I was kind of banged up too. I never took any. And if I did, I tried it once for a migraine. Didn't do a darn thing. I mean, pain medications don't help if you're really having a migraine. You need the actual medications that are working in your brain for the neurological things that are going on, not just the pain.
And that was well said. That's exactly right. And a lot of people don't appreciate that. And so they're thinking, hey, I just want the pain to go away. Yeah. But the basis upon which a migraine sort of initiates is it's a vasodilation of the vessels, which impacts the nerve endings. And the goal of, you know, any over-the-counter medicine like Excedrin Migraine, which also has caffeine, is to do a vasoconstriction and try to release some of those symptoms. So you really nailed it. And that there's a big gap there, right? Because if you go to your primary care, or worst case, and this is why Allergan, who happens to sell Botox, loves to provide Botox to migraineurs, which is effective, but you know, migraineurs will get Botox treatment every 3 months, and the doctors I work with, they get over 100 injections in their scalp per session. It costs insurance about $1,500 per visit to pay for that. And the reason insurance companies are more than happy to do that is to do one thing. They want to prevent that chronic migraineur from stepping foot into the emergency room.
Yep.
You step in the emergency room. And I'm working with, we have an advisor to our company, Suzanne Richardson. She's a former CEO of a major healthcare system here in Orange County. She would say that it could go anywhere from $5,000 to $24,000 to treat these quote-unquote migraineurs. Why? Because when a migraineur steps foot in the ER, as you know better than I do, Bonnie, they have to rule out a acute event such as a bleed in the brain.
Yep.
So for a chronic condition, the hospital has to go to extraordinary lengths and use extraordinary resources to rule out that 1% that may have something more acute in their brain. So it's a huge cost impact to the healthcare system. So companies like Allergan try to encourage patients to get Botox. There's a new class of migraine drug out called CGRPs, which are injected once a month, that also shown an impact in reducing the number of migraines per month. But it's a big challenge, right? These companies are trying to figure out the best way. Payers are trying to figure out the best way to manage these patients. And at the outset, if you don't know what the real problem is, you don't know for sure it's a migraine, then what happens is you fix and chase with drugs. And a lot of these patients will start to doctor shop. And it really creates a snowball effect that isn't good for the patient and isn't good for the provider or payer systems.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, patients, you know, they're going to a professional, right? A healthcare practitioner, whoever they go to, because they don't know what to do. They're expecting this person to know, you know? And if they don't, then they just go to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And so there's no, you know, person necessarily at fault or to blame or anything. It's the system. And so taking a look at changing the system, which sounds like what you're doing with Serenitex, is awesome.
Yeah, you know, that's right. You know, and our vision is, you know, if you look at the impact, there's a professional impact that these people go through, these migraineurs. There's a personal impact, like I miss events. I miss important, you know, weddings and anniversaries, and I may not get that promotion because sometimes when I get the migraine, I have to leave work. So it's such a big deal and such a big social impact. That the notion of having a simple tool that's non-invasive to screen and detect for an actual migraine and then empower these healthcare professionals to be able to put the patient on a regimen of targeted therapies or targeted pharmacological drugs becomes very meaningful. And in fact, you know, we kind of look at our approach as like a triad approach. So think about a three-legged stool. So in the world of migraines, there are journals, right? We are all familiar with apps that have journals. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine if you were to go into a doctor's office, and imagine this is what we're doing at Serenitex, that when you go into the doctor's office, you have an app on a tablet that has our logo, and it's called Calm. And you interact with that app, and you start to put in the patient's history, and you have the patient fill out a three-page questionnaire. And what you do is then you do the diagnostic run, which tells you if you are migraine or not. And then in conjunction with that, you give the migraine sufferer a migraine app buddy that they can put on their smartphone, take home with them. And when they get the migraine, they can record it. They can record the drugs they took. They can record when they started feeling better. They can record the onset. Is it food? Is it temperature? And imagine you have the tablet at the doctor's office, the actual screen, and this migraine buddy that they take home with themselves. And all this data now is going to the cloud, kind of in a big data format. And now we're able to, using predictive analytics and algorithms, start to paint a picture of what triggers it, what drugs are best for this patient. And we're not doing this on a swag, but on an objective diagnostic basis. And then imagine if you compare that result to thousands and millions of patients as the algorithm diagnoses that, and then eventually you weave into that artificial intelligence, you could imagine you'd have a very, very powerful tool, predictive analytics, to better guide the course of therapy and what's best for that patient. And how to, in fact, I give you an anecdotal story. I remember talking to somebody who said, you know, my aunt just struggled with migraines. And eventually the lady was telling me, I did the research and I shared with her doctor, have you looked at celiac? And apparently she was allergic to celiac. Mm-hmm. And when she cut celiac out of her diet, guess what went away? The migraines. Well, if you have a tool to put all this together and sort of create the picture and give the patient education and ability to know what triggers it for them or what meds are best for them, it's a very powerful tool. One of the things we just recently discovered in a study that we did at our company is not only can we detect the migraine, but we scan these patients after they took over-the-counter meds and after they took a triptan. And I'm going to echo what you just said. And here's what we discovered, that these are active migraineurs. We had them come in during an active migraine, and we gave them an over-the-counter, waited 30 minutes. They went from a 9 to a 3, their own verbalization. We ran the screen again, and guess what? We showed a resolution of the migraine, but with objective data, not just me telling you, but there was the data. The migraine went away. And here's the kicker. The triptan that the lady took, one of the participants, didn't make one impact on the migraine. Now, this could be because triptans has no more effect on her. Maybe she's used this particular version of triptan so long that it doesn't have the same impact. And this is the beauty of the tool, because now you can diagnose it, you can analyze it and say, you know what, this triptan's not effective, let's try this. By the way, you can take our tool in a doctor's office, confirm they have an active migraine, give them a CGRP, and within 10 minutes, the CGRP medication will kick in, scan them again, and show the improvement. What that does, not only visually saying I have record of it, but biofeedback, you know better than I do, Bonnie, is very powerful. Not only do I see that I'm feeling better, but now you've shown me something that says, not only am I feeling better, but in fact, I am better. Mm-hmm. So it has all these implications. And the ability to have a tool that brings this whole world together of journaling, of actual times you're getting it, has very powerful implications, I believe, to how it's going to be managed in the future.
Mm. You know, Ben, I think we could talk about migraine and migraine therapies all day, because that's one of my interests. But, you know, the show must end at some point. But I really want people to go away with some sort of, you know, message. So if people could only remember one thing from our conversation today, what do you think the most important thing would be that you'd like them to walk away with?
Well, that's a tough question to answer, because there's a lot of things we covered. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is there's people out there that are focused on problem solutions. They see the problem. They're trying to work the solution. In my case, I happen to be in the medical device world. There's people like me out there that really see that have been impacted because they had a personal loved one impacted by migraines, for example. And so I think the one takeaway is there's people, smart people, working the problems to really improve the quality of life, because ultimately that's why we're in the medical field, is we see the problem, we see the impact on daily living, and we're really driven by how do we improve the quality of life for people. And to me, that would be the one takeaway.
Mm. Know that people are working on it. There's help out there. Just hang on, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Ben, I know people are going to want to know more about Serenitex and more about you. What's the best way to connect with you? And I'll put the link to your LinkedIn profile on the show page so people can look at that directly. I would imagine they could probably connect with you there.
Yeah, they can connect with me on my LinkedIn page, or I can provide my email to Serenitex, and that would be bbobo, so bbobo at Serenitex.com. That's Serenitex.com. Bbobo at Serenitex.com. And certainly people can connect with any questions, comments. We're here to really try to invigorate this discussion and really bring some light to this quite frankly, national crisis of migraines, because people don't look at it that way. But if you're impacted or you're a family member that you rely upon your mom and dad to get you from point A to point B, it's a huge ripple effect in our society.
Yeah. And I will put your email link in the show notes as well, so that they can just click on that and go there or copy paste it and go there. I want to thank you so much for taking your time today, Ben. I know you're a busy person. So thank you so much for taking time to share all of this with us here on The Holistic Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Bonnie. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.